Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, baby.
Hello. I like to draw that out more now that I can see myself.
I just rewatched the other night. Leah and I were hanging out, and typically, like, my go-to when we decide to like watch something is, you know, something intense, weird, scary kind of shit. And Leo was like, can we watch a pick me up? Like, can we watch something kind of like, kind of feel good? And I was like, oh, okay. How about, I was like, have you ever watched MacGruber? She was like, no. I was like, let's watch that. Which I think is easily one of the funniest movies I've ever watched in my entire life.
MacGruber?
MacGruber. Yeah. What's her name? Kristen Wiig is in it.
Mm.
And she's all about singing in it. And like, holy fuck, man. She is the funniest woman on the planet.
I think you're right. How do I find that movie, MacGruber?
MacGruber. I rented it. I rented it on Apple TV. It might still be available. Just check our account later today. If it's not, just rent it.
I'll definitely check that.
Rent it for sure if it's not. Forte from and Kristen Wiig, and it's based off a character from SNL. So, you know, it's one of those like SNL super silly Willy movies that's just like over the top absurd.
Okay.
But
Kristen Wiig, when did it come out?
2010. 2010.
Oh, God, like a decade ago. Yeah. Over a decade.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
I've been laughing out loud. We've been powering through the whole Friends series.
Oh my!
And
this is so weird. This is so funny because last night Leah was like, "Let's watch Friends before bed," and I was like, "Ugh, I hate Friends. I hate Friends." Mm-hmm. And then she put it on, and I was like, "This is pretty funny."
It's pretty funny. I have been like, I honestly don't think I've. It's so wholesome.
Yeah.
In a way. And then in other moments, you're like, well, that didn't age well. But
yeah, there was some outdated stuff in the episode I saw. I was like,
there's some outdated stuff. But
It holds up pretty well. The rest of it, and it has been very enjoyable.
You know what it is? You know what it is that didn't age well? It's the it's a show that is so stuck binary. And like about the binary. Yeah. It's like men and women. Like the episode I watched last night was.
Which one was it?
It was Chandler being like, Joey, you gotta be a man. Like, you gotta be more of a man. Because letting his girlfriend like cover his apartment with like potpourri and girly paintings. And then yet Chandler is also doing a bunch of girly stuff with what's her name? Courtney Arquette or
Courtney Cox. So Chandler and Monica are living together where you're at? That's where you just jumped
where
in.
Where I'm at? I'm not anywhere. This is Leah's been watching and I just said, okay, fine, put this garbage on. And then I was watching and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good. It was when Jennifer Aniston was like, thought that Phoebe had fucked or had made out with Ralph Lauren.
Oh, haven't gotten there yet. But I really am excited for the episode with Brad Pitt. To come back.
Didn't know that was a thing.
What? Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. Last night, the episode I was watching had Elle Macpherson in it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know who that is?
Nope.
Supermodel?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, this is now the Friends podcast. So this podcast is not only brought to you by Promescent, but also brought to you by Friends.
It's my dream to, if I was going to be still acting, that kind of show with just a bunch of my friends for 10 years or 11 years, however many seasons. Years
yeah.
it did.
And millions and millions of dollars. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like, I think the cast of the female cast of Friends are the highest paid women in television.
Wow. And they only made 1/10 of what the men made. How about that? Did you know that?
I don't really.
No, I just made that up. I don't know.
I think they were each. I looked it up. What they each made each season of the show, and they went from making like $22,000 an episode to like $23 million an episode in the last season.
Oh my god, that is disgusting.
22 episodes in a season. I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move along then. Away from Friends.
I have a couple of things I want to clarify.
Okay.
Ready? So
am I in trouble?
No, but I feel like I am.
The way you said that, you were like, I have some things that I want. That's the way you talk to me when like something's up.
Oh God. Well, that's not what I'm going to talk about right now. But what I am going to talk about right now is so last week when we were just like rambling on the whole foreplay, trying to come up with
foreskin.
And I said four square and 7 years ago, and you were like, that means nothing to me.
What foursquare means to me is a game that we used to play in elementary
foursquare.
School.
I said it again.
Okay. Yeah, that's the game we used to play in elementary where each kid stands in a square, four squares within a square, and you're bouncing a ball into each other's squares. And if you fuck up, then you lose.
Right. Super fun game.
It's kind of like tennis, but with four people.
In a much smaller area.
Very small court. Yes. High stakes.
Well, I think I was pulling from the recesses of my brain.
And we would play during recess. Brian, this all makes sense. I get it. I know where you're going with this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, four square during recess. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Four score and 7 years ago is the opening line of the Gettysburg Address. It's like one of the most famous public speeches ever given. And I needed to recall that and clarify that because I know that at least one of our listeners was shaking their fist at the radio, being like, Bridey,
at the
what
radio,
you're referring
at the
to.
Radio? At the radio? What planet are you living on? Jesus Christ.
Aren't we on the radio?
No, no. We aren't. Thank God. Thank God we aren't.
Shit. Oh, my God.
We used to be.
God.
We used
well,
to be
anyway.
On CKDU here in Halifax. Remember that?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Well, we're not on the radio, but wherever we are, the airwaves. Are we on the airwaves?
Yeah, I think we're on that.
Okay. So for anyone shaking their fist at me, there, it's the Gettysburg Address. Lincoln gave it in 67 years after the signing of the Declaration of the Independence. Do you know how four scores and seven years ago is? Guess. You don't care. A score is...
No, I don't care.
A score.
Oh, my God. This is...
A score is 20 years.
Four
score. A score is 20 years.
So 87 years.
Thank you.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, I just needed to bring that around and complete okay. it. Thank you.
Now, let me ask you this. Well, before we started recording, I was like, hey, do we have anything that we want to like touch on before we throw to our amazing conversation with the CEO of Promescent? And you were like, yeah, there's one thing that I want to get into and I'll explain it when we get in. Was this it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank
it was friends.
God. No, Jesus Christ.
No, it wasn't. It was actually, you know how we've been, are you ready for it? For the real thing?
I'm ready for the real thing. Let's get this podcast started 10 minutes in.
What I really wanted to tell you about was what I found out about Masturbation Month.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm into this.
I think this is a little important piece of history.
Cool.
National Masturbation Month actually was started by National Masturbation Day. It all started with one day. And it was declared National Masturbation Day, May 7th. This was 1995, and it was declared that day by Good Vibrations, which is an old, or I shouldn't say an old, but like a longstanding sexual, I want to say health organization, but I want to say it started as like a sex toy shop in San Francisco.
Okay.
Anyway, they named it in honor of the Surgeon General Jocelyn Elders. Do you know about Jocelyn Elders?
I don't. Tell me.
Okay. So Minnie Jocelyn Elders, she is an American pediatrician and public health administrator. She served as the Surgeon General of the United States from 1993 to 1994. So just for 1 year. She was the second woman and the first African American to serve as the Surgeon General.
Wow.
She's known for her discussion on controversial issues such as drug legalization, masturbation, and distributing contraception in schools. And when she was eventually forced to resign, I think that would be under the Clinton administration, it was because of the controversy of her saying that masturbation should be taught in schools.
Whoa. I mean, for the early 90s or mid 90s, that mm-hmm. is a controversial and ballsy subject. Are yeah. you allowed to say ballsy anymore?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll just leave it. Leave it.
I said it.
Oh, you said it.
I'll go back and bleep it out.
That's a good idea. Ballsy. Bleep it out there too. Okay. I wanted to tell you also about Jocelyn Elders that before she became the Surgeon General, she was the director of the Arkansas Department of Health, and she accomplished some pretty major things while she was in office there, including reducing the teen pregnancy rate, by increasing the availability of birth control, counseling, and sex education at school-based clinics. So this was within her state. She also saw a 24% rise in the immunization rate of 2-year-olds. Wow. So think about that. Think about those like you know, teen moms especially, and yeah, like, yeah, right. you know, just like all the challenges you're already presented with, and an expansion of the availability of HIV testing and counseling services, breast cancer screenings, and better hospice care for the elderly. So she was an all around pretty fucking awesome.
very ahead of her time.
Still is working as a pediatrician and as a professor, I believe. So
how did it go? How did it go from a day to a month? What was that? Do you know when that transition took place?
I have no idea. I really just wanted to tell you about Jocelyn Elders. 'Cause some of the things it's like, I'm not super connected to the American politics system or really any of our system. But when I start like digging a little bit below the surface of a lot of the things that we talk about, it obviously leads back to a lot of like really politically charged reasons that we, you know, we don't have access to great sex education in our schools.
Of course.
And I wanted to say this too. So she was able to be the voice. This is all from Wikipedia, by the way, but I found this really interesting. She was able to be the voice for the African American community and speak on poverty and its role in teenage pregnancy, which was a major issue within the community. And she was also an endocrinologist. So I believe that the endocrine system, what is that? That's, you know more about that than me.
Endocrinologist is the doctors who specialize in the glands. The endocrine system is like your your glands, your hormones. It's all about hormones.
All right. Okay. So as an endocrinologist, Jocelyn Elders was especially concerned with young diabetic women getting pregnant, because when young teen women with diabetes got pregnant, they had a high chance of their bodies rejecting the fetus or the fetus developing abnormalities in utero. So this was all like a huge motivation to her to get young women to take control of their sexuality as soon as they became, as they went through puberty. I just thought this was really interesting too. She criticized older textbooks that said only white females had naturally regular periods because, white females were on birth control to regulate their periods.
Oh, fuck.
And black females did not readily seek out birth control because their black ministers were up on the pulpit saying the birth controls were black genocide. That's all in quotes.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. There are some like intersects there with a conversation that we have in the pipeline that is coming up in a couple of weeks. That's really interesting. I wish we knew that before we went into that that conversation, which I will wait before. I won't say anything about it because it was a pretty special and interesting conversation.
Oh, cool. I'd love to hear that. I'm going to give you one more piece of this. This was sort of the initiating incident that eventually led to her being forced to resign later the same year. But in the context of abortion, she said, "We really need to get over this love affair with the fetus and start worrying about children." Later that year, she was invited to speak at the UN conference on AIDS. She was asked whether it would be appropriate to promote masturbation as a means of preventing young people from engaging in riskier forms of sexual activity. And she said, "I think that it is a part of human sexuality and perhaps it should be taught." That's the comment.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
fascinating. I love that.
What sparked that
little deep dive into the research of Masturbation Month for you?
I mean, honestly, I think if you search like anything about Masturbation Month, you'll find references. Actually, no, I shouldn't say that. That's a misspeak. I think I specifically Googled like Masturbation Month to find out its origins, and it's literally in the introduction of that article on Wikipedia leads directly to her, links directly to her. But of course, when you do a Google and you're not looking for the history of Masturbation Month, there's no mention of the fact that it was sort of in tribute to this person. So I just wanted to bring that forth in the, cause you know, like in some of the conversations we've had lately with folks, you know, I've expressed sort of a fatigue of masturbation month and prioritize pleasure and these kinds of messages that are like out there and overwhelming, but somehow feel like not inspiring to do those things, at least to me. But somehow understanding the greater context of the importance of masturbation, has made it more motivating for me to acknowledge this month.
Does it make you want to masturbate more?
Well, I have been masturbating more.
Because of your new toy or just because?
Just because I feel, not because it's Masturbation Month, but because I feel like I need to connect with practices and I am connecting with other practices too that make me just feel less... make me feel more in the moment and less like I'm trying to achieve something. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I've been in this very strange headspace lately of just like, you know, just like, what if it was just more normalized to just sit and daydream for most of the day or, you know, not be like concerned with getting my bills paid, I guess is really the relief I'm looking for, a particular kind of relief for my mind, but also a kind of engagement with my life that is, that's fulfilling.
Interesting that you bring that up because last night while we were recording Sick Boy for our Friday YouTube episode, we had a discussion about how the WHO just released a study recently about how, like, with proof that overworking can kill you. And one of the stats that they had in there was that in 2016, working long hours caused over 745,000 deaths in 2016 alone. And that people who work 55 plus hours a week. So I think there's a lot of people that work 55 plus hours a week, have a 35% higher risk of stroke and a 17% higher risk of dying from heart disease.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, what's interesting. I mean, I guess there's a lot of things in between that statistic and the stroke or the heart, you know, but when you think I'm just like trying to understand, like, for heart disease or stroke to happen, there's got to be some sort of breakdown of the veins or the arteries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or blockages. Something's happening to the, like in a stroke, it's some sort of blockage in a vessel in your head, isn't it? In your brain?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
So then, you know, working 55 hours, maybe that means that you aren't able to.
Well, it's stress.
Like, how does
it's stress?
Yeah.
Stress causes stress. I mean, talking about hormones and the endocrine system, stress, you know, releases cortisol. Cortisol is the stress hormone. High amounts of cortisol in your body aren't good for you. Over time leads to illness. I mean, if you're a doctor out there, an endocrinologist, don't fucking quote me. All right. I'm on the radio. All right. And
you are on the radio.
And I actually am. I should know what I'm talking about. it's just stress. Stress kills, you know? And then, and the other interesting part about this entire thing is that, you know, so that was 2016, 745,000 deaths linked to overworking. Now in 2020, 2021, the amount of people that are forced to work from home and who have the privilege of working from home, because it is a privilege to be able to work from home, but for the amount of people that have been now forced to work from home, and not having the ability to separate work from home, mm-hmm. you know, losing that ability to separate the two because now your work is within your fucking home. Like mm-hmm. how, and not to mention frontline workers, COVID in hospitals, fucking you name it. Like, you know, 2016, 745,000 deaths. I feel like if they did that study for 2020 or 2021, that number would be a staggering amount, you know, a staggering amount more than what is already quite staggering, which is, you know, almost a fucking million people. Anyway.
Wow. That really resonates. I mean.
So having said that, if you're listening to this right now, maybe just pause. If you're working, if it's the middle of your work day and you're trying to cram that work down your throat and get it done, take a second, pause this recording or leave it on. Be weird if you left it on, but you could.
They're probably not listening to us and working.
Masturbate. Yeah, no. What? Oh my God. So many people listen to podcasts and work.
Okay.
that's a very common thing. So what I'm saying is pause the recording or keep listening while you're working, masturbate, get yourself off, and then go outside for 20 minutes and then come back in and continue your work.
Yeah. Bonus points if you can get your heart rate up.
Bonus points if you can get yourself off outside.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just put a blanket over your lap.
Yeah. And don't be anywhere near a park.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. Okay, well, that's... I'm glad you brought that on about cortisol, yeah. Honestly.
I thought that was great. Before we move into our amazing conversation with the CEO of Promescent, Jeff Abraham, I want to read to you an interesting little article that came out of Vice World News that was brought to my attention by... one of our patrons here on Turn Me On, but also a patron through Sick Boy. And this actually came through our Discord over on Sick Boy. We have a Turn Me On episode discussion channel on our Discord on Sick Boy because there's so much crossover of fans that there's people that want to talk about shit we've talked about on our Discord. And we're like, let's keep that in this small private channel.
Off in the shadows.
Yeah. Shout out to Sadie for bringing this to my attention. Unexploded grenade found in Germany forest. Actually just a butt plug. Police said the rubber grenade proximity to lubricant and condoms helped verify their findings. So here's an image of the unexploded grenade. That is actually just something you shove up your ass. If you want to see what we're referring to, go to patreon.com/turnmeon, become a $5 patron, and you can watch our foreplay recordings. Mm-hmm. An object thought to be an unexploded World War II era hand grenade found in woodland in Germany was actually a rubber sex toy, police have said. Earlier this week, a jogger discovered what she thought was a grenade in the Bavarian forest near the city of Passau in the south of Germany and called police. A police bomb squad were called to the forest in Hausenberg, but they quickly deemed the item to be non-threatening. The bag that the grenade was also contained lubricant, two unopened condoms, and a USB cable. Objects which helped bomb disposal experts reach their conclusion.
So this lady found a bag, pulled out a grenade.
I know. That's the thing. It's like you're jogging and you go, oh, there's a fucking plastic bag on the ground. I'm gonna root through it.
Well, I stopped to look at a pair of sunglasses that were on the...
But were they hidden within a... like? Garbage, you know, it's like it's garbage. She was jogging. Maybe she went to pick up the garbage and then felt
maybe
like a
she's
heavy...
a freegan.
I don't think freegans.
Maybe
jog.
She's a freegan.
I don't think freegans.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No, I don't think so. The condition the objects were found in implied they had been in the forest for a while. Holy fuck. Quote, a search on the internet then confirmed the suspicion. There are actually sex toys in the form of hand grenades. And that was what it was all about here, police said, told Vice World News in an emailed statement. Quote, due to the advanced decomposition of the bag, the objects must have been there for a long time. How these items got there and why they got there can only be guessed at.
Okay, so the bag was decomposing, babe. She could probably see through the bag. She wasn't just randomly going through. She probably was just running, saw sort of a decomposing bag and was like,
I think she was just a nosy jogger. She's a nosy lady. It's like, ooh, bag.
We are going to have to talk to this lady.
What's in that bag? Yeah, let's try
how many butt plugs have you found? Who buys a grenade-shaped butt plug? Is that purely for...
Is that a serious question?
Well, I'm just wondering, is it like...
Have you seen some of the sex toys out there? Who's buying giant octopus tentacle dildos?
Yeah, but also it's not a weapon. You know?
An alien arm is not a weapon? I don't know.
There's alien arms?
Yeah, man. Are you kidding me? It's like a whole subculture of pleasure toys. Weird alien toys. Tentacle arms and big scary alien dick.
Do you know what the pleasure toy that I would most like to have actually is a swing. Like one of those. Yeah, but not specifically like a swing for sex, but like even those aerial silk sort of like a rig. Mm-hmm. Something like that. We have listeners out there that must have had sex on their aerial rigs, because I know we have some aerial rigged listeners.
Sure. For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although an aerial rig would be oh wow. Just got tired thinking about how hard that would be to have sex on an aerial rig.
What? Are you kidding me?
It would be hard. You've done aerial silks? I've done aerial silks. That shit's tough.
But you
now imagine trying to get fucked.
No, easy. You just bend over. This is how I imagine. You just bend over so your fingertips are on the floor and your toes are on the floor. Me. Or
the
receiver. And then partner comes up from behind and literally you just grab the swing and you just bam, bam, bam. You just swing the hips into your hips. That's what I would imagine. And I'd just be on my fingers and my toes, just hanging out, getting the best forward fold fuck ever.
You ever see, I don't think I can find it here. There was maybe this is it. Holy shit, did I find the video? There was a video somewhere on the internet of a couple fucking while skydiving. I'm going to see if I can find this here. This is it. Yeah, check this out. How wild is this shit?
Are they naked?
Yeah, they definitely are. Hold on. Hold. Do you see this now?
Yep.
Okay, so the article says, someone gives a flying fuck. Skydiving sex stunt under scrutiny. There's the photo there. There's the photo there.
Well, can you make it any bigger for me?
I don't know. It's
that's a little bigger.
I mean, it's kind of hard to make out. The Federal Aviation Administration says it will look into a videotaped skydiving sex stunt to determine if the pilot might have been distracted during the incident over Kern County. I mean,
what's blacked out? What's blurred out there? Oh,
nudity. Nudity.
Okay.
He's naked. She's naked. They're blurring out the.
They're hurtling toward the earth.
Yeah. And having sex.
Well, that's pretty cool. Good for them.
Pretty wild, eh?
I feel like that would be really difficult and terrifying. I have no desire to skydive in my life anyway, but
skydiving's fun. I don't know how one would perform. I don't know how either one would perform. I mean,
I think you'd have to be inserted when you jump out.
You'd need to be taking that Vitaflex from Promescent. I'll tell you that right now.
That's a lot of libido.
Speaking of Promescent, this week we are speaking to the CEO of the company that is all about making people better in bed. And this is a really fun conversation that we had with Jeff Abraham from all the way down in the beautiful U.S. of A. And we're really excited to bring this conversation to you all, folks. We hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
I feel like Jeff would be really fun to like hang out in Vegas with.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Yeah. He's the guy you want to go to Vegas with for sure. So folks, enjoy this conversation. And to our patrons, if you've been watching, we love seeing you every single week. And we've got some interesting and fun things in the pipeline for our patrons. For all of our listeners, really, but especially for our patrons, which we will be announcing in the coming weeks. So we are excited for that.
Stay tuned.
In the meantime, enjoy this conversation with our new friend, Jeff Abraham, and we'll see you on the other side.
You fire away. I'll answer totally unscripted, as honestly as I can.
Let's do it. How does a man like yourself get into the business of making people better in bed?
You know, you'll laugh when I tell you this because I've been asked that question many times, and it might be the most circuitous route in the history of business. I owned a semiconductor engineering business prior to running Promescent.
What the fuck?
I swear to God. People go, wait, what? Okay. So how do you go from integrated circuits? I was very fortunate. Okay. I hit it big. I retired early at 53. Okay. Literally months after I retired, and I was a single dad raising my son. He left and went to college, retired from my business. And it's like, okay, I'm going to live the comfortable life. But when you retire at 53, the last thing you think of is, okay, all my friends are still working. Cause you'd call people and go, hey, you want to go golfing? They go, I have a job, you moron, I'm at work. I go, oh, that's right. Some of you are still working. Hey, do you want to go this weekend and go to wherever? Hey, I'm working. I go, oh. So I was kind of bored. And my next door neighbor, who was also a doctor and a very good friend of mine, was a urologist by the name of Dr. Ronald Gilbert. So I went to see him in late 2010 for my yearly physical, you know, PSA test and everything. A man at 50 starts having the yearly prostate checks and everything. So during the visit, he's like, you know, I have a question for you. I started this company and I have this product. It's going to be my retirement. I really don't think that it's taken off yet. You know, my best friend from high school is running the company, blah, blah, blah. It was Promescent. It was the men's delay spray. So after my visit, we went in the office. He explained it. What do you think? I said, does this stuff work? He goes, oh, it works really well. And I asked him, I said, how big is this market as opposed to ED? Because ED market's like $4 billion. He goes, it's actually larger. I was like, what? He goes, actually, 10% of the ED market is misdiagnosed PE.
Whoa. So,
oh, yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
So I tried the product. I was like, oh, my God, this stuff is freaking legit. One thing led to another, and I invested in the company. And I was bored because I didn't have anything to do. All my friends were still working. I wrote him a business plan. They adopted what I told them to do, and it went really well. They said, okay, write us the next phase to grow to the next thing. So I did that. And they said, well, it's going to take another $400K. We don't have that kind of money. I said, well, I'll invest another $400K, but you have to put it like off to the side in escrow account, do exactly what I'm telling you to do. So one thing led to another. A year later in 2011, they asked me to come run the company. And I was bored, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it's going to be friends. 12 years until my friends reach 65 and they retire too. So I then took over, started running the company, and we had immediate success. Things went really, really well. Unfortunately, a tragedy happened. Ron was murdered in a case of mistaken identity in 2013.
Oh, my fucking
God. It's the most tragic, nonsensical thing you'll ever hear. Some guy had a prostate surgery 23 years prior. Don't ask me why it took him 23 years, but he was upset. He went back to the VA. He got the records. The guy that did the surgery was a guy by the name of Dr. Ron Gelhart. He said, oh, I'm going to murder this guy. He looked up and saw urologist Newport Beach is where he had his surgery, Dr. Ron Gilbert. But anyone sane knows Dr. Ron Gelhart is not Dr. Ron Gilbert. He made an appointment to see Ron. Ron walked in thinking he was seeing the last patient of the morning on January 27, 2013. The guy was waiting in a shooting position and shot him 8 times through the heart. He was dead before he hit the floor.
Oh, my and God.
That's how I ended up here. I literally moved 8 months later because I can tell you that, you know, you can't run from emotional pain, but you can at least remove the triggers. Okay, this is our office. This is our house. This is his car. This is where we used to go to lunch. So that's how I ended up here, because I literally just, it was so painful, you know, having those daily reminders. And so I almost just sold the company and left, or just said, I'm going to find someone else to take over, because, you know, I did it because this was my friend and I wanted to help him out and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, one day in April of 2013, about 90 days after this had happened, it's right before I moved here, I'd already put a house in escrow and everything. I was sitting there and I just Google searched his name. It's the craziest thing. And all of a sudden it was Dr. Ron Gilbert, doctor shot by crazy guy. Next thing, Dr. Murder. And I go, oh my Lord, not only did the guy take his life, he took his legacy. He's no longer a father, a husband, a friend, a doctor.
He's just
now
a victim.
The doctor shot by the crazy guy.
Yeah.
So for me, that day was, I got very emotional. And I really thought to myself, okay, I can't unring the bell. I can't bring him back. I can't, you know, there's nothing I can do except two things are in my control. Number one is to give him a legacy. So every podcast, everything I do, I try to mention Dr. Ronald Gilbert, because he truly was, I mean, he had no enemies. He was one of the nicest people you will ever meet. No ego, no nothing. Number two, his wife and his two sons still own 20% of the company. So I thought by making this very successful, I could at least relieve any financial burdens or financial considerations they had. So for me, I can't unring that bell. I can't bring him back. There's two things in my control. Number one, give him a legacy and let people know who he was. And number two, have success so that his family, even though they'll never get over that tragic loss, they won't have the burden financially, you know, it'll at least give them some comfort. And I can tell you the last 2 years, I've had the great pleasure to give them some very big dividend checks. You know what I mean? And it's my goal within the next couple of years to hand them a very nice big check when we sell the company, you know, because we're really growing now. So, like I said, when you ask that question, it's a very circuitous route and it has a lot of backstory to it. It's
phenomenal. No shit. What a wild story. I mean, first of all, I'm so sorry for the loss of what sounds like a pretty close friend and business partner. That's like just totally wild. I do want to kind of ask about the delay spray. I think to kind of like shift this in a bit of a different direction, Permessin, you guys have a plethora of different products out on the market right now. There's the delay spray. You guys got supplements, lubricants.
Female arousal gel.
Arousal right. gel, yeah.
Massage oil?
Yeah.
And Bridie's been using the arousal gels. I'm curious to know how that's been going for her. But I want to know about the delay spray. You said that you tried it, and it blew your mind. So here's the thing, I got a shipment of a bunch of Permessin product that came in. I was unboxing it in my condo, and I pulled out the delay spray, and I was like, I looked at it, and I was like, No, I can't. Like, I couldn't. I don't need. Full disclosure, I don't think I need it. I looked at it and I went, this will be a problem for me. If I use delay spray, I'll be backed up for months, I'm sure. I already have like this, thankfully, this ability to control my orgasm, which I think is, I didn't always be able to say that, but. When you used it, leading into this question now, when you used it, were you in a place where you were like, oh, like I, this sounds like a product that I could use personally in my own sex life? Or were you in my boat where you're like, I don't really need this, but I'm going to spray it on me anyway and see what happens?
You know, for me, I was thinking of investing in the company. And it wasn't like I went, oh, I have this glaring need. But there were times in my life, you know, I was single and still am. But there were times in my life where I was very acutely aware, has my partner climaxed yet? And there were times that, and you know, it's really strange because the sexuality of men and women, I always tell people, are so different. You know what I mean? Like any guy who goes, okay, I'm with this woman, oh, I'm going to use my pet move, and you know, oh, this is my go-to. But women are so different. You have to literally reset every time you start dating someone. You know what I mean? Because you go, wow, there's certain things. Certain women will go, oh, I love that. And the next woman will go, oh my God, I hate that. You know? But for me, I was dating someone that took a very long time to climax. I mean, literally like 30 minutes, you know, of constant thrusting, you know? And so there were times I was like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, I hope she doesn't get on top, you know, go reverse cowgirl, you know what I mean? Cause oh my God, that's going to,
it'll
know,
be
I
over.
Not last that long. Sure. So it was like at a time, this particular relationship, someone took quite a while. Then it was funny because right after I started dating her, I started dating someone that would sneeze and have an orgasm. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, this feels a little bit better, you know? But so I was like, even though I would finish, there were times in I would get her, you know, to climax, you know, prior. There were times where the last 2 or 3 minutes, I felt like this little guy on my shoulder, not yet, not yet, let her finish. You know what I mean? Okay. So the first time I tried it, he just gave it to me and I read the instructions, 1 to 3 sprays. Okay. So I try 3 and literally 40 minutes later, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to finish. Okay. And I'm like, finally she starts tapping out. You know what I mean? And I'm like, whoa, I put all this work in, I'm finishing. Right. So the next morning I call him and he's like, what'd you think? I said, the product's insane. I said, but you know, it's too good. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, he goes, tell me sprays you use. I go 3. He goes, well, 3 to 10 is for someone with PE. I go, well, tell me that prior. He goes, if you're using it recreationally, try 1. I go, thanks. I go, so then the next time I did try 1 and I was like, oh, now it leads me to that point where I think you're at, where you go, I don't have any, I literally, you know, decide when I want to finish and I have to kind of focus and then I finish, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you don't have that issue. So the first 2 to 3 years, we were focused on hardcore PE, people who had clinical PE. So we grew because there's 2,000 urologists that now recommend us. We're in their protocol. But then we realized how many people, once we started having success and we had all this medical credibility, that literally just wanted better intimacy. And you know, you're in the unique situation. Most men don't have that total control because let's step out of the realm of PE. Let's talk about normal, healthy men and women. The average man lasts 5 minutes and 42 seconds during penetration and thrusting during intercourse. The average female takes 18 minutes and 40 seconds to achieve climax. So even in healthy couples, there's a name for it. Urologists and therapists, they call it the arousal gap. Okay.
Sure.
That's why a lot of guys go, I'm the master of cunnilingus. You know, they have extended foreplay. That's all done to shorten that gap so that the woman becomes, you know, closer to achieving climax even prior to starting. That's why there's 7 trillion vibrators in the world. That's why, you know, guys stop, start, think about baseball scores. Like I said before, like, oh my God, I hope she doesn't get on top. You know, that, you know, because every guy knows there are certain positions that take you closer to the edge. There are some positions you could last forever without ejaculating. So people have learned to use these coping mechanisms. And we're to the point now, 11 years in, where over 50% of the people that use our product would never say, I thought I needed this product, I have any kind of PE. They've just found a better degree of intimacy by using the product. They literally say to themselves, I like that little insurance policy. You know what I mean? It's like, you never know when you're going to need it. And then all of a sudden someone backs into you in a parking lot. You go, man, I'm really glad I had that insurance. Because a lot of times, like I said, if you're using it recreationally and you use 1 spray, it's not like you can't finish or you're never going to go forever, but it gives you just that added little layer of confidence so that if your woman takes quite a while to finish, that you have the ability to literally not get anxiety.
Yeah.
Because anxiety should never enter into intimacy. You know, you want to feel comfort. You want to feel unbridled, you know, joy and optimism and, you know, I'm really going for it and reckless abandon. There shouldn't be anxiety in intimacy. Those two things should be mutually exclusive. Mm. So I look at it as something that it's not for everybody, but for people who need it, it is game changing.
Okay.
It literally is game changing.
I love that. I think that's great. That makes me want to try it now more than I did when I first got it, because I was a little scared of it.
But oh, yeah.
How does it work? Like what's the actual like process of the spray? Like what is this doing?
This is going to blow you away. Okay. So prior to the 40 years before us, there were two options that men had if they went to see a physician or they did their research. Number one, and these things do work, they're SSRIs, which are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Most non-professionals go, what's that? You just say depression drugs, Paxil, Prozac, Zoloft, okay? Now, but if you take them for PE and you're not depressed, you get dry mouth, nausea, loss of libido. Most people are like, excuse me, I'll take the PE, you know what I mean? Loss of libido, okay, now I can last forever. I just don't want to have sex and everything else. So that's off label, and a lot of people don't like that. The other option were Prilocaine, you know, which is straight, a numbing agent, or Stud 100, this other product that existed. The only problem is you last longer, but it's done by completely numbing you up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so one of the things that I did before you can effectively run a company, you have to know your product, you have to know how it stacks up against other products. The first time that I tried Stud 100, I am not kidding you, someone could have dropped a cinder block on my penis. I wouldn't have felt it. Okay.
Sure.
Just total numb. I was like, you know, and then you're like having sex. You're like, am I involved here? You feel like you're watching someone else have sex. You have no feeling. Mm. And then it transfers to the female. She's like, hey, I'm numb too. And I'm like, okay, this sucks. Okay. I'm like, these are the options. Okay. I'm definitely investing in this company. Ron was a genius because he looked at those two options as a urologist. And as a urologist, this was such an issue. Because if someone came to see him for prostate issues, they had many choices. Someone came to see him for ED, they had Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, Trimixtan, Xcendra. So every other thing, they had all these issues. You came to see him for P, they were like, you're on your own. That kind of sucks. Mm. So what he did was he partnered with a guy by the name of Dr. Tony Capomaccio, an inorganic PhD chemist from University of Georgia. And they developed this eutectic formula that changes the crystalline structure of lidocaine. Lidocaine is a solid, it's a crystal, okay? Therefore, it cannot penetrate the skin. It just sits on top of your skin. So when a man uses that, any lidocaine-based product, it numbs him and unfortunately transfers to the female.
Sure.
But it allows you to last longer because you don't feel anything, you're numb. So what they did, which is pure genius, is they changed the crystalline structure from lidocaine, from a solid to an oil aqueous form. When you do that, it penetrates the dermis or stratum corneum, the outer layer of the skin. So then it penetrates the dermis. It resides in the fatty tissue underneath. So it gives the man a much higher degree of surface sensitivity, and it doesn't transfer to the female.
Okay. So a similar mechanism to these other products that exist out there. However, it's the way that it integrates with the biology of the body. That changes it.
It literally has some of the same chemistry. Some of the other ones have lidocaine, but this patented formula that they developed that changes the structure from a solid to an oil aqueous, allowing it to penetrate the dermis. That is the sole difference. But it's like saying the sole difference between a Ferrari and a Ford Pinto is one goes a lot faster, you know?
Right.
So it is one difference, but it is the difference. What makes us a very attractive option and makes them almost something you don't even want to go near.
Yeah. Right. I am now more inclined to try this out. I'm going to try it out tonight.
Start with one spray.
Oh yeah. No, there's no fucking way I'm going because with three.
The whole idea of intimacy is to pleasure your partner, not punish them. You know what I mean? So start with one, because you don't want to be here. And you know, it's funny because I tell people all the time, I am so glad, because I'm about to turn 64. I am so glad that I grew up when I did, and I didn't grow up in an age where, you know, cell phones, where a lot of, this is true, a lot of young people now watch porn before they have their first sexual experience. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when they're 13, 14, or when they're getting ready, they have cell phones, you know what I mean? Or they see that kind of stuff. I talk to people. I'm very interactive. The way to effectively run a company, know who used your product. I've talked to men, I'm not kidding you, that say, you know, I last 30 minutes, I last 35 minutes, I want to last an hour and a half. I'm like, excuse me? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why? Well, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you watched a lot of porn? Or yeah. I go, first of all, a lot of porn stars, Johnny Sins is on our site. He's ABN's Male Porn Star of the Year in 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. He's a big proponent of Promescent. And when you get into that world, you find out the majority of porn stars use products to keep erections, last longer. And I tell people that it's not real life to last an hour or an hour and a half, okay? It's not real life normally to have a 10-inch cock, the circumference of a beer can, and you know, to have sex for an hour, and right before you're getting ready to ejaculate, jump off, run across the room, and shoot your partner in the eye from 30 feet away. You know what I mean? It's like, let's be real, you know? Yeah. And it just blows my mind how it's just the same thing like with women. They see Shape magazine, and a lot of young girls growing up go, wow, if I'm over 8% body fat, then I'm obese, you know, like, and they see these magazines and they go, the average woman is 5'4", weighs 114 pounds, has a 36 inch C chest and a 21 inch waist. You know what I mean? And we are creating these unrealistic visions and expectations, whether it's body image, whether it's performance sexually, you know, all this kind of stuff. So one of the things that we've done is we've really tried to educate people, you know, and we don't want to sell products to someone who goes, I last 30 minutes, I want to last 90 minutes. Our advice is, okay, take a step back, communicate with your partner. Does she want you to last longer? And if you're thrusting for 30 minutes and your partner's not achieving orgasm or climax, before you go, I want to last longer, take a look at your technique, okay? Communicate with your partner and see what it is you're doing, not doing, that, you know, might help. So we're all about better intimacy. In fact, our tagline is better in bed. We really preach that. And, you know, when you go to our site, I've been criticized by some. They go, when I go to your site, it's like going to a medical site. There's all these articles, you know, because you go to most sites, it's like buy, you know, right now, 10%, you know, everything's focused on getting you into this funnel and selling you product. And I tell people, I think one of the reasons we've been successful, if we focused, our products have clinical studies, okay, and they're expensive, but they're worth it. We have all this medical background. We have all these blogs. We have all these informational posts. We tell people, before you buy the product, read this to see if you think this product will help you. We believe the more educated you become, then all roads lead to us. And we don't want the one-shot deal where we're trying to, you know, high-pressure sell and just get a click and get a sale and they never come back. That's not sustainable. For us, it's about getting people the right information so they make the right choices. So if they buy us, we really believe we're going to help them and they're going to become loyal repeat customers over and over again. So that's the key, to have the right product, to educate people so the right people are buying the right product for the right reasons, and to have 1,000 people buying the product multiple times as opposed to having 50,000 people all buying one trial size and never coming back.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I see that as a really common line for sex product companies to have to walk, is like, you want people to know that the product is like backed by science, but you don't want it necessarily to come across like a pharmaceutical, because people
that's
have
the
all
line
these...
we walk. You just hit it right on the head. Absolutely.
And how do you, like, I guess, what's your decision-making process for like how you sell yourself, I guess, like when you walk into a room full of like prospective clients or like people you need to convince, you know, like what is it, besides being extremely personable and like generous with your energy and your information, what do you think sort of those, I'm asking like 100 different questions in this paragraph.
No, that's okay. Like, that I'm really intrigued. No, that's good.
I just want to know like what sort of like, what are, yeah, I don't know what I'm asking actually anymore.
I know what you're asking. Because,
okay.
You know, when I was having trouble putting into words when I first took over this company. Okay. How do you bring this up and how do you address it without becoming personal, like you're deficient in something, you know what I mean? Or you have an issue or you have a medical disease or, you know, that kind of stuff. So what we decided as a company, and this is part of our mantra and one of the things we emphasize time and time again, is the overall message is you're not alone. The majority of men literally have some form of an issue, whether it's acute medically defined PE, whether it's just something that, you know, they can use occasionally. Because another thing is, you don't have to have chronic PE. There are some things that come up like prostatitis. When a man suffers a bout of prostatitis, he's going to prematurely ejaculate because his prostate becomes very sensitive. And there are times that we tell certain men that if you don't have sex for a prolonged period of time, then you're going to shoot more quickly because of the built up, you know, frustration and pent up, you know, libido.
Sexual energy. Yeah, yeah.
Sexual totally. Energy.
Yeah.
Also, when you're new in a relationship, because the one thing is, a lot of men have been married 30 years ago. Promescence is the last thing I need. You know what I mean? Because they're so used to the same thing. When the excitement wanes, so does the ability to become aroused. You know what I mean? And so when you're with a new partner, everything's new. With everything new, there's a heightened anxiety. There's, you know, it's not comfortable, you know? So we have people that our users will tell us, you know, that are single, hey, when I'm in a new relationship, I make sure I have my Promescent because I tend to be a little more trigger happy. You know what I mean? And that kind of thing. We also have people that say there are times where I got to get up at 6, you know, it's 11:30 at night. I don't need a marathon. The last thing I'm going to do, or there are other times when it's a Saturday night, the kids are out. You know what I mean? The wife and I are going to bed at 10. I don't have to get up in the morning. So it's one of these things that you have to frame it so that people don't feel like I have an issue. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'm deficient, that you're not alone, that a lot of people face this issue. In fact, there's an actual term called the arousal gap. And it's very natural to go, there are times, even if you don't use it chronically every single time you have sex, there are times you're going to want to have this for where you might be predisposed to firing off a little more quickly than normal. Mm-hmm. And I think that resonates and puts people at ease, because I think even the entertainment industry for years has made jokes and laughed about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And if someone has the issue, that sends them further into shame and further into seeking help because they think there's something wrong. And these old wives' tales about, well, if a man, you know, rapidly or prematurely ejaculates, that they don't care enough about their partner is laughable. You know, I talk to people all day that suffer from this. It's the exact opposite. They so desperately want to please their partner that it's become something that is just this mental block, you know? And then the anxiety, once you have the issue, makes it even more difficult to solve, because then you're actually focused on it rather than enjoying yourself. And, you know, there are 5 separate physiological reasons why a man rapidly ejaculates or early ejaculates. And it's not limited to hypersensitivity, the penile nerves, low testosterone, you know, prostatitis, all these things. Now, there are some times where it's a psychological issue, because in a lot of cases, from a young man's early sexual awakening, when he first starts masturbating, no one's proud when they're 13, 14 years old of, you know, masturbating. And generally it's like, oh my God, I got to hurry up and do this before someone walks in on me. So literally they're getting it over with as quickly as possible. They don't use lube. You know, no one's like, I'm lighting candles, getting the lube on to masturbate, you know?
Yeah.
So they're literally training themselves to prematurely ejaculate.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. So there's a couple very distinct types of early or premature ejaculation. There are some that are psychological in nature, or you're training yourself and you just have to take a step back, relax, and literally start realizing that feeling of inevitability. It's when you go, okay, because every man during arousal, there's a certain point where you go over the top, where you lose, it's involuntary. You go over, you know, you're about to ejaculate.
Yeah, there's no coming back. Yeah.
There's no coming back. And everyone knows once they get control of that, that you can then slow down, you can stop, you can switch positions and take a step backwards. So in a lot of cases, a man, if the problem isn't physiological, if it's mostly trained, they've trained themselves to prematurely ejaculate, or it's anxiety, getting them to understand that feeling and to then get control of that feeling and know that they don't have to go over the edge. And so there's many different, it's a complex issue. That's why we have so many articles. We want men to understand. We want, you can't treat anything until you understand what it is you're working with. Is it physiological? Is it psychological? If it's this, do this. If it's this, do this. So we are going to continue on the path of being an educational site, where we really want for people not to become hooked and use products that they might be able to wean themselves off of. So, and I think that's done us a real service, because a lot of people recognize that and go, hey, these guys just aren't here trying to make a quick buck. They are trying to solve problems. And when they see the president of International Society of Sexual Medicine doing testimonials on our site, and the fact that he's on our advisory board, it gives us a lot of credibility.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm wondering, you know, as a man who in his late 50s, early 60s gets into the business of helping people become better in bed, how has this work affected your own personal sex life?
It's been very positive, but I'll tell you, there's also, you know, unrealistic expectations, I should say, because we live in an era now that whenever you first meet someone, the first thing they do is Google search you. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And now you're the sex guy.
Oh my God. There are times where I go out on a date and literally someone will go, you know, I couldn't help it, Google you, you know, like, are you some like sex god? I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, yeah. If you're the president of the United States and people go, you're the most powerful man in the world, it's because you can press a button and nuke somebody. You literally can't out bench press anyone, out jump anyone. I'm like, you know, I do my best. You know what I mean? And obviously I have access to a lot of information, you know, but you know, I would never claim to be like the world's greatest lover. You know what I mean? And I've always been very attuned to my partner. I'm a good communicator. But this has taught me even more so, because so many times I'll talk to one part of the couple, either the male or the female, you know, that's using the product, and they'll say, oh, we had this big issue. And I'll go, well, when you guys talk about it, and they'll go, what do you mean? I go, what do you got? And they go, no, we've never. I go, wait, this is your husband. You guys have been married 20 years. He has absolute chronic, you've never talked about it. I go, no. I'm like, this isn't unique. This is a lot of people literally get in bad relationships. They end up being married 20 years and they feel it's just easier not to address it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm like, this isn't a dress rehearsal. So you go around one time, make the best of it. Okay. It's like, fix it. You can't, if you're not discussing someone and addressing it, how's it ever going to get better? So I tell people the most effective sexual tip I can give people is communicate, be open. One of the things that I've learned through this and talking to a lot of people, I didn't realize how many men their egos are so fragile. I'm not kidding. It's crazy. Because a lot of women, when I do podcasts or radio shows, like serious shows where there's call in, half the people that call in are women. Mm-hmm. And when they call in, I know exactly what they're going to say. Number one, we need the product in our relationship. Number two, how do I bring it up without my husband freaking out? Mm-hmm. So I literally tell them, I have this pat answer. I'll go set up a fantasy night, kind of a 50 Shades of Grey night. You know, get a blindfold and a riding crop and a feather duster and then promescent. So you're not going, hey, you need this. Set up this whole fantasy night, you know, with everything else. Make that one of many so it kind of blends in. And then when it does, and I tell people, when you give a man control, the men love control because you've been taught from when you're younger, you're the provider, you're this, bring home the bacon, you know, all these old cliches that, and a lot of men feel that they need to be in control, that the man needs to be the dominant one in the relationship. Good relationships aren't like that, but there's still that mindset, especially among people in my age. And I always tell people that if you go over a couple's house and they're watching TV, the guy's sitting there with the remote control. He's like, I'm in control here. I'm controlling the And everyone's been through this where you go with another couple, you're going to go to dinner. You know what I mean? And so you go over, literally 99.9% of the time, the guy's driving, the woman's in a passenger seat. In fact, it's almost at a point where if I see the woman driving, I go, oh, that guy has a DUI. Okay, he lost his license. Okay, because guys love control. How many times you've been in a situation where you're going somewhere and your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, you're like, okay, let's stop and ask. I don't need to stop and ask directions. I got this. Meanwhile, an hour later, you're driving around in a circle, you know? So yep. I always tell females, don't personalize it. Don't say, hey, you're deficient. You need this because the guy's going to get defensive. He's going to shame him. Just allow him to try it one time by including it in a number of things. You'll never have to tell him to use it again.
Yeah.
Just get it in his hands one time. We used to have this saying in the company, and it was laughable, that if we, every time we came into this encounter, if we heard that, we would have got a dollar. We would have $100. I had to change it to $1,000. And this is the scenario. We'll be in a situation. I was at a barbecue about a year ago. Well, a little over a year ago. It was before the pandemic. And it was in my neighborhood where I live. And one of the couples that lives near me came over and they're like, hey, you know, we really love the new home you built. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. The guy goes, what do you do for a living? I go, I'm the CEO of a small pharma company. He goes, what's the name? I go, Absorption Pharmaceuticals. He goes, I never heard of it. I go, well, we're still relatively small. He goes, what's the name of your product? I go, it's called Promescent. Promescent sounds familiar. What does it do? I said, well, it's an FDA compliant treatment for premature ejaculation. He's like, what? I go, yeah. So there's like 10 seconds of dead silence. And here's exactly what he does. Puffs his chest out. He's like, it's the last thing we need in this relationship. I'm like, okay, no big deal. Okay, Ron Jeremy, I know you're a stud. No big deal, right?
Sounds like me.
So, yeah. So about what? Well, I mean, you're serious, okay? So 15 minutes later, he goes over to get something to eat. They had this like tri-tip and chicken and they had this real nice buffet. He goes, his wife leans over and goes, do you have some samples that we could use some of that in this relationship? You have no idea how often we hear that. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And I tell people this and I say it a lot and people laugh. But before I took over this company, people would say to me, what is the most fragile substance on earth? I go, I don't know, a Fabergé egg. You know, like some fine crystal from London, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now people go to me, what's the most fragile substance on earth? I go, the male ego. The male ego, definitely.
Yeah.
I would not want to be a woman and dealing with men, okay? It's like, it's the craziest thing. I mean,
okay. I thought this is where your story was going. So now I want to know what your feeling is about this. What if, a hypothetical situation, I bring this product home and I don't feel like I can tell my partner what it's for. So, but when we're having sex, I just spray it on him and tell him it's lube.
First of all, it's not lube. So you might go, yeah, whoa,
Brady,
whoa,
did,
whoa.
Did you, Brady, did you not hear anything about the communication bit?
I thought only men were bad communicators. Yeah.
Isn't there something about like asking for forgiveness later?
As you come clean later. Yeah. But here's the thing. You literally, ideally, you want to wait 7 to 10 minutes after applying it so that it absorbs. Right. So if you applied it right there, so you might have to apply it and then distract him, you know what I mean? For 7 to 10 minutes so that it absorbs. So he doesn't, you know, lose sensation or it doesn't transfer to you.
Yeah, so part of my fantasy night will be the promescent and then some nipple tassels that I will I will try.
A little dance.
So apply it and then put the nipple tassels on, you know what I mean? And,
Kill some time.
Jeff, I want to know, like, you know, it seems like it's been a wild ride so far, and it doesn't seem like the end is near. So what's next for Promescent? What do you guys have in the pipeline? What are you excited about?
It's really interesting. We've grown, and up until 2 years ago, all we had was Delay Spray. Right. Literally, that was the only product we had. And then some people came to us and said, you know, I really need a good lube. Can you recommend a good lube? Because when I was having sex for, you know, a minute, I didn't need lube. Now I'm having sex for 15 minutes, I need a lube. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So we had a couple we recommended, and then we thought, let's develop our own. So we did. And I was like, wow, let's see how this goes. So when we first put lube on the site, it literally blew up almost immediately. And I was like, whoa. So I sent out a couple emails. I go, wow, thank you very much. What gave you the confidence to buy lubes from, you know, our site? Because we're known as Delay Spray. And the result was universal. It was like, if it's on this site, we know it's top quality. We know you'll stand behind it 100%. Mm. So then we went into condoms, and then we went into female arousal gel. All that was a literal seamless transition. We didn't even have separate marketing campaigns because we had a lot of traffic, people looking for sexual wellness, and it was a natural. Then a company that was making vibrators wanted to buy our spray and package it and have this combo pack where they had their vibrator and Promescent spray, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. So they had success with it. And to us, it was a great way to reach a lot of new customers, you know, in conjunction with that. So then they said, hey, we want to give you, you know, 600 or 700 of these, and then you guys sell them too. And I was like, nah, we're not really into, our whole thing is like products. And they were like, no, you need to try this. And I was like, and they go, we'll do it on contingency. If you don't sell, we'll take them back. So I called Russ, my operations manager. I said, okay, take these. Just put them on the checkout. Don't promote them. When they don't sell in 60 days, we'll just send them back. Okay, great. Put them on the site. Bang, immediately. Started, I was like, oh my God. So I literally said to him, I said, do that same email. What gave people the confidence to buy Vibe? And it was the exact, it was like the same people were writing of a slightly different wording. Hey, if it's on this site, we know it's top quality. Mm. We know it's tremendous. Then we added the nitric oxide supplements. And now that's a total different realm than lubes or gels. That's our second biggest product. Now that went insane because it increases libido, helps with erections, helps females moisturize, gives you more energy. It also has non-sexual benefits. And that went insane. So in September, we're launching a huge line of toys and vibrators because we now have made that successful transition into being a brand. We are absolutely a brand now where people go, if it's on the site, it's quality and I'll buy it. And it's funny because our tagline for the company used to be Promescent, make love longer. We only had one product. So our new tagline is Promescent, better in bed. So the spray is make love longer. The lubes are make love smoother. Mm. The Vitaflux is make love healthier. The condoms are make love safer, you know? Mm-hmm. So we've begun to branch out. Now, my mantra and my goal as the CEO of this company is 4 times a year, I want to introduce a new product. But there's a criteria that has to be met. For us to introduce a new product, it has to be as good or better than anything else in that category. Because what's made us successful is people have the confidence to go, if it's on that site, it's top quality. The first time you marginalize or put something, you know, that's middle of the road, people go, oh, I can't just order from here knowing it's going to be good. So we have to keep that mantra. If we never find another product that is as good, if not better than anything else, then we'll never introduce another product. My goal is 4 new ones a year. If we find 6, we'll do it. The goal is 4. If we never find another product that we feel is cost effective and at least as good or better, not anything else, then we'll never introduce it. So that's our intermediate goal. We launch at Walmart in July of this year. That's a big step for us. We've been at Target retail wise for the last 4 years and done very well. So we're adding Walmart. We have another deal that should be finalized with a major retailer in the next 30 days. That'll take the entire product line because the other two just have the spray. So our entire product line is going to be a big chain with 300 or 3,000 stores nationally. Those have been big. We're introducing a PE wipe. It's a spray bottle now, but a little prepackaged wipe that is also eutectic that is clearly superior to anything that's on the market right now. Mm. That introduces in July this year. So we have a lot of things on our plate. We are growing rapidly.
Yeah. Speaking of the wipes, that was another thing that was in the box that was sent to me was the like the after wipes, like the cleanup
before
wipes.
And after wipes.
Oh yeah. Man. What a fucking game changer. I like that is a game changer. I am like saving so much on laundry right now. It's amazing. Yeah.
I'm telling you, that has been one of those ones where you're like, and you know, it's funny because I wish I could say I was a genius. I developed that product and go, okay, I see a market for this. All of our products are developed because we talk to our customers, and I pick out a lot of repeat customers who've been with it a long time. And they like freak out. I send them an email. Hey, you know, what do you, and they go, are you really the CEO? Is this really Jeff Aaron? I go, yeah. And they're like, you're reaching out. I go, yeah, this is how I learn. Okay. I'm not a genius. I was running a semiconductor engineering business. Okay. Up until I did this. All right. It's not like, you know, I've been in this business forever. And I talk to people, and you don't know how many people said to me, hey, I really like a individually packaged, you know, nice little menthol kind of wipe. And it's not just after, it's pre, you know what I mean? Because say you're going to a club, you know, you're going somewhere and you come home and you don't have time to take a shower. You're like, hey, I want to freshen up here a little bit. You know what I mean? And like you say, afterwards, and it's so convenient, you know. And before, they had this package with like 50 wipes. You'd pull one out and it was a big open box and have to seal it back up. And that's not convenient if you're going out for the night. You can't take a box that's this big and put it in your pocket.
Right.
So people love that convenience. So we introduced those, and I really, and like I said, I wasn't really that aware of that much of a need for them, but people were asking me for them. So I was like, I don't think this is going to be a big product. And so we introduced those in February of this past year. So I was in our offices before I came back to my home office, and Russ says, oh, we're getting those up on the site today. And, you know, I'll optimize them next week. And, you know, because we have just like Amazon where it's like people who buy this in certain places where it's featured. He said, I'm just going to throw them up on the site in the checkout today, and we'll optimize them next week. So in the 15 minutes it took me to go from that office to my home office, I get home and I'm looking through orders and I go, oh, Russ must be testing, you know, to make sure it's optimized, because I see an order go through, then another order go through for these before and after wipes. Then I look at the name, I go, that's not Russ. And I go, oh, maybe it's one of our developers I'm not familiar with this agency we use. And I go, wait a second, why'd they order that with spray? And I go, wait, this guy's a repeat customer. I called Russ. He goes, can you believe that? He goes, I literally put that on the site, and 3 minutes later, people started ordering it. I'm like,
flying off the shelves. Yeah.
I was just like, it's amazing.
They are great. They're really great.
They're really good.
Jeff, this has been really, really sweet, man, to sit down and talk to you about the company, about the products, about what's coming up in the future. I want to say, I want to say thanks for sending the product. I'm excited now. Now I'm really excited to give that delay spray a try.
You go, I really want to, I had to put my mind at ease, but now I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. I'm ready to rock with it. Yeah, for sure. I want to say thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down with us and to give us a little bit of insight into the work that you do and everything that is Promescent. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the future, how far you guys go, because this it seems like it's to the
ceiling for us is unlimited right now. We have busted through and we're doing really well. We have the best product in a number of areas. The company's on solid footing. We're, you know, profitable now. And, you know, it's funny because you work 10 years and you work hard and you go through a lot. Then all of a sudden you bust out and so many doors you knocked on and wouldn't open now call you, you know, and go, hey, you know, we need to bring your product in. And it's funny because I've had people say, oh my God, you're an overnight sensation. I'm like, where you been the last 10 years when I'm getting my feet kicked in? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we're an overnight sensation, 10 years in the making, you know, but it does prove one thing, that do the right thing, work hard, don't get frustrated, don't abandon ship. You know what I mean? During rough times, just keep grinding and eventually you'll get there. And it makes it even that much sweeter that when you finally get there, that you know that it wasn't easy and you know that you had to be hardworking and diligent and you had to keep focused. And, you know, success without sacrifice or success without, you know, any kind of, you know, difficulty isn't really as enjoyable because it's just like it fell into your lap. Mm. Nothing fell into our lap. We worked really hard and we overcame a lot, you know, because we're in a business where there's a lot of giant companies and we came out of nowhere and created a very successful brand. And I'm extremely proud of that.
Well, congratulations. Go ahead, Brad.
I just wanted to say thank you too, as well, because it's been really inspiring to hear the heart and soul behind your story as well. And it's just really moving that, that you shared that story about Dr. Ronald Gilbert and
it's important.
Your motivation.
It's part of who we are. It's mm-hmm. really part of who we are. And I believe, you know, it's funny because all the success we've had lately has been very, very rewarding, but there's a gnawing part of me go, man, I wish Ron could see this. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, I wish he was here, you know, and his wife tells me he knows he's, you know, smiling down, you know, and I'm not a very religious person. I'm just raised without religion. And I believe in a certain sense of spirituality, but I'm certainly not into traditional Western religion. You know, mm-hmm. in fact, I have a little Buddhist statue in my entryway into my yard here. That's the closest I've ever found to religion. So I have a hard time imagining like him up in human form, looking down going, yeah, thumbs up. I hope so. But, you know, it's not like I'm banking on it, but it's been real. And I have to thank you guys because one of the things that's made us successful, we can't go head to head and spend 10 million, 20 million, 30 million on advertising like a lot of our competitors do and run these digital ads. One of the reasons we've been successful is because we've reached out to influencers and podcasters where we get a chance to share our story and people go, wow, that's real. Mm. And you know, any digital ad, how much can you put in a digital ad? Okay, this works, that works. And I tell people because when you look at our site and you see testimonials from, you know, the urologist who's the president of the International Society of Sexual Medicine, the president of the Sexual Medicine Society of North America, then you see another website where there's a Getty photo of a guy in a lab coat and they go, doctor certified. Mm. The average consumer doesn't realize there's a difference. It's shows like this where people who have a general connection with their audience allow us to come on and explain who we are and what we do. And so many people, they fill out the customer survey. They go, I heard your CEO on this podcast or that podcast. And they'll go, you guys are genuine and you really care. And that's the truth. And, you know, a lot of times, and I'll do it right now, I give people my personal email address. It's jeff.abraham@promescent.com. That's P-R-O-M-E-S-C-E-N-T. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you have any issues whatsoever, email me personally. I answer every email. And it's funny because sometimes people freak out. Like, why do you do that? I go, because I'm learning, okay? Every day I get up, I want to learn more about my company. I want to learn more about the people who use our product. I want to know how they find us. You know, what medium brought you here? What, you know, was it a Google search? Was it this? Was it that? Was it a podcast? Not only that, once they try the products, how did you like it? How can it be better? What parts of it are outstanding? What part, you know, every day I want to learn more about what gets us to the eventual finish line. And the finish line is more people having better sex because of what we do.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much, Jeff. This was really, really fun.
That was my pleasure.
Man. Yeah. Thank you so
much.
Stay
in touch. All right.
All right, that was it. That was our conversation with Jeff Abraham. Hope you enjoyed that, folks. man, what a story, eh? I like, what an origin story of the company.
Yeah, it was so, I like that. I like it when someone who, you know, has had a lot of success really just like at the heart of it holds such a special person or a special like sense of purpose. I really connected to that with Jeff.
Too.
And I loved that the other sort of message that he feels is under the undercurrent of his business, which is you're not alone. That was a big sort of takeaway for me as well. So
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Check out their products, folks.
Yeah. Check them out. We've been using them. We enjoy them. And we are sure that you would too. Hope you enjoyed that episode this week. Thank you all so much for tuning in week after week. It really does mean the world to us. And, especially you, our patrons, patreon.com/turnmeon. If you would like to support the podcast, And if people want to reach out to us, Bridie, how can they do that?
How about through email, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us a DM on our Instagram. We're not super active over there, but you can find us there at turnmeonpodcast. And other than that, you could also visit our website, turnmeonpodcast.com. There's a submission form there. If you want to be a guest on the show, or you know someone who should be a guest on the show, or you have, I don't know, it's a question for us that you would like our thoughts on, you could submit that over on our website. See you there.
All right, that's it for this week, folks. Until next week,
go touch yourself.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.